Blog Talk Radio. You know, we'd be ready to go. As a matter of fact, I gotta check out this guy around the corner. He has virtually everything in this little. I love these little second, third, fourth hand thrift shops. You know, years ago, I was dating this young lady in Detroit. I was up there either finishing school or trying to or something, and she had already finished. Even though she was younger than me, she had started earlier. And she had gone on to become a doctor, but it was something that about Detroit. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. At any rate, let's come back on the other side of the break. We'll finish talking.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mos, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
Yeah, and you're tuned in to Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. 51 degrees outside and overcast. And we figured as much as not bad. I mean, you know, for November, you know, being a native New Yorker, man, you know, this time of the year is typically really cold, but it's been really nice, really mild. Even if you cut the grass, everybody's around me has cut their grass. I haven't even bothered. I will pull it out. If it stays like this into the weekend, I'm going to definitely have to cut. So at any rate, we were talking. I was all over the place, you know. Just a very relaxing, laid-back weekend, but we got to rock and roll this week, man. It's fast coming up on Christmas, and I'm not anywhere near where I want to be, and we got to address that. So we're working on it. We'll see what happens. Basically, I have to do some new blurbs, new spots next year, so I think I'm going to sit down in the studio and start working out some new ones, take East New York, take the boys' spot down, and put a couple other ones up, new, fresh, contemporaneous, that sort of thing, you know, like refreshing up the website every, I'm basically on it once a month now, unless I'm, you know, extraordinarily busy. If I'm really, really busy, then you might see me neglected for, you know, a month or two. But after that, I get right back on it. And, I've been pleasantly surprised, you know, using words, WordPress, you know. It's not a difficult platform to use at all, you know. Certainly, you know, I've gotten my money's worth. And the fact that I've become more involved, you know, so a lot of the stuff that you know these people are telling you is either foolishness or they're trying to take you to the bank. Typically, it's both. So, you know, saving myself some money and gaining another competency, man, seems like a winning combination to me. So time's a fast approaching for the beginning and end of this guy in office now. We see, you know, some enterprising young journalists decided to go into the Northern District of Virginia and the District of Columbia to see how many sealed indictments were filed. 35, which, you know, all legal scholars, and we talked about this a little last week, say it's an unusually high number of sealed indictments in any one jurisdiction, and suggest that those are all Mueller's indictments, you know, so it's protected from outside interference, because those indictments are already been, you know, been made, then there's little administrative action that they could take to, you know, sort of push back against it. So it's interesting how, you know, certain apologists, supporters of Chump the Brain Dead, Comic Connor, Bark, a.k.a. Coolest Clown, on one side, you know, thought that by directly interfering, and I don't know how they expected to get away with it, but I guess this is the definition of brazen, just being being bold, man. Just, I mean, you know, because this guy Winnington or Winnington or whatever his name is, at any rate, has been openly hostile towards the. Towards the investigation in the past. Now all of a sudden he can impartially oversee it. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people that are looking at this objectively from a nonpartisan perspective. You know. So, the fact of the matter is the guy's a liar and he shouldn't belong there. And we got to get him out of there. But we don't want Pence in. We really want the whole administration to know. We know that it's not going to happen. It's turned a, you know, already corrupt system, you know, into a shambles. You know, we really, we're in trouble now. I mean, we really are. I've said this a number of times on the show that, and by the way, if you want to join us, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. You know, that, you know, race relations is at rock bottom. You know, he's just torn the bandage off of what was a festering wound in this country. You know, you could always smell it, but you never quite knew where it was coming from. And this guy came in and just ripped it off for his own, you know, selfish, myopic, you know, malicious, malevolent reasons. So, you know, we are where we are. No, we don't know where we're going to get this genie back into the bottle. You know, and, you know, I think, like a lot of people say, man, I think a lot of white supremacists have infiltrated law enforcement. You know, they have all the black and brown officers basically in check for the most part. They know what's going to be done to them. You know, I was watching a documentary, and those that listen to the show know I frequently go off on these tangents, but I always get back. But it was Houston, who was an attorney in either the first or one of the first deans of the Howard University School of Law, and how under his tutelage, you know, we had you know, a fresh cadre of dynamic, progressive lawyers that were able to take on you know, very important litigation in furtherance of the civil rights movement. And it was something that he said that struck me that doesn't seem to be said to these young lawyers now that are coming out of law school, you know, in their, you know, mid to late 20s and, you know, ready to take on the world, man. And they don't seem to, especially the black ones, man, they don't seem to have any sense of obligation. And the ones I met are very, you know, I'll just reserve comment. I'll just say that, you know, it's really, we, you know, we have to be advocates for ourselves in our community. And if we're not going to be advocates for ourselves, then, you know, we can't honestly, I mean, come on, earnestly expect someone else to advocate as hard as we should be able to advocate for ourselves, right? Yeah, of course. So that's where we are with that. You know, the investigation should be winding up, and I figure that there's going to be some revelations in there that even Republican Congress is not going to be able to withstand. They're going to have to to deal with it. And I don't know, you know, what the end result is going to be. But what I do suspect is that he's going down in infamy. You know, I honestly believe that. So, you know, this last foolishness with not wanting to go to these veteran memorials or to visit these soldier, sailor, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen in these you know, war zones because he's quote unquote afraid. You know, at some point it just becomes too difficult to frame, you know, to try to characterize, you know, how anyone with the flaws, foibles, we all have frailties and foibles, but I mean, you know, the glaring ones that this guy had, and he still managed to bully his way. Jeb Bush said it wasn't going to happen, but it did happen, apparently. He managed to bully his way into the presidency of the United States, man. It says a lot about posturing, sloganeering. It says a lot, man. He's going to, you know, he's going to have to deal with his own demons, though. I mean, you know, he's not going to have a free ride as a consequence of his own misdeeds. But, you know, what I'm saying is that, you know, how will the country as a whole get back on track? That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the country not being able to regain its assuring, you know, after this this presidency, you know, to think that he has all this money in his coffer. They haven't even talked about what happened to the inauguration money. You know, I'm still trying to get past that one. Forget about all the other exposés that have come out in the meanwhile. It's just absolutely incredible. It really is. You know, they talked about Obama like a dog, you know, called him incompetent, this, that, and the other, you know. From what we understand, this guy has to be cajoled into doing anything that remotely resembles work. You know, it's just, it's really outrageous that, you know, this farce, you know, talk about fake. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, as when he was walking up the stairs during his inauguration. And I was just saying, you know, I didn't agree with everything that President Obama did when he was in office. I thought he was, you know, tended to overly intellectualize, overly analyze, you know, certain issues that we just simply require effective leadership. You know, he was fundamentally a decent person, and, you know, for him. figuratively and literally turn over the reins of power to that guy on that day in January. I had to be among, if not arguably, the most difficult thing that the Obamas had to endure in their, you know, at that point, 20-year marriage and 8-year presidency. So, you know. And I don't know why we did it to the guy. I mean, you know, he could have did more. Yeah, of course. He was the first, and that's how it goes, you know. You push the envelope without getting crazy, you know. And, you know, because look at this backlash. I mean, they would rather have an incompetent con man, windbag, than, you know, a competent female, because that's who ought to have won. And, you know, Lindsay, you know, I mean, you know, there's something going on, social media's talking about, you know, well, you know, saying that, you know, you can support Trump and not be a racist. They say, no, this dichotomy too far. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're supporting someone that is overtly racist, you are a racist. It is just that simple. There is no, or an apologist, depending on, you know, the hue of your skin. So, I tell you that you know, he is, and I think that, you know, beyond the correspondence, then I posted that on our Facebook or our Twitter some weeks ago. You know, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Con, Bark AKA Clueless Clown, disliked Obama before the White House Correspondents' Dinner in, I don't know when it was, I would say, you know, during his second or third year into his presidency, and he skewered Trump, and I think that, you know, that insult was something that he was unprepared to tolerate from a black man. Man, I met these guys, you know, I've known people like this all my life, you know. I grew up in Long Island. Brooklyn and Queens are on Long Island, by the way, you know, just the city, and, you know, they're incorporated into the city of New York, but those two boroughs, every borough in New York is on an island except for the Bronx, the Boogie Down. But at any rate, you know, Long Island was pretty racist, man. You know, it was a lot of, you know, it was heavily agricultural when we were growing up. You know, a lot of strawberry farms and pumpkin patches and, you know, a lot of fishing. You know, we live right on the South Shore, close to the South Shore, and I loved it. This is why I have property down on the extreme eastern shore of Maryland. I think it's going to remind me a great deal of, and I have to go down there tomorrow, by the way, it's going to remind me of Long Island, sans the course. You know, a house in West Hampton, which is the black area, you know. West Hampton used to be, you know, that far out on the Forks. I mean, there's always been blacks out there, Riverhead and Sayville, you know, little small pockets of African-American communities clean on out to the end of the North Fork or the South Fork, Fire Island and all that stuff. But at any rate, yeah, that's basically how they treated us, you know. Tolerate you, you know, basically. So, interesting. side of the room with their boys that don't attend your school. I think they know the consequences. You know, behavior has consequences. They know the consequences of that behavior. And predominantly African-American high school, you know. So I know I'm all over the place today, but, you know, I'm just preparing for the week. And like I said, tomorrow I got to look because I got to leave relatively early. I want to leave early. I don't have to. I just want to. I want to see what the weather is and all that stuff and go down there and actually get these things done before our return of the year. Well, we got another month and a half, 2 months, I think, in the regular season left. Not even, so let's go. I don't know, 6-7 games left. And then we're going to see what it's going to look like in the Super Bowl, man. I'm excited. Girl. I'm excited for Baltimore, man. It hasn't looked this good, this exciting. And Slugs. I mean, it was so funny, man. I didn't know the guy could move that fast, man. He scored a touchdown. Third ever in his 15-year career with in the NFL. Yeah. Definitely going into the Hall of Fame. Unbelievable. And outran a receiver. Guy's incredible, man. Yeah. Really funny. So the caravan is here, or caravan or caravan. We're expecting, hopefully, nobody to get shot because apparently Trump has ordered the military police officers that are assigned to assist Border Patrol, you know, that you are allowed to defend yourself with lethal force. Okay, all right. Gets better and better, boys and girls. So anyway, we'll be back basically next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. The Marketing Pulpit International. New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shippen.
Can afford. Yeah.